anxious to be here this evening in Kamloops. I would like you to turn for one reading anyway in the book of Hebrews and chapter number 11. We're going to read a verse in Hebrews chapter 11, and there's a few other verses we'll be looking at in a few moments. And while you're turning there, I would just mention a little bit what's on our mind tonight. And of course, in the prayer meeting, thanks was given for the salvation of our niece Jenny. And that's partly what has caused me to think the way I'm thinking this evening. And it was intriguing. Saturday we left to come over to Abbotsford for Sunday. But Saturday morning before we left, I had occasion to phone Brother Ralston and making some arrangements for a few things. And then we got talking about Jenny getting saved on the Friday night. And if I understood right, and I don't have all the details as we left shortly after the conversation, but I gather that really while she was laying in bed Friday night, just going over in her mind certain things, but one of the things that was going on in her mind was things that she heard in Sunday school. And this is what spoke to her. And this is what helped her that Friday night in her salvation is the things that she learned years before. And I couldn't help but think this is so encouraging for me and for everybody that is aware of the situation to think of the fact that there weren't special meetings going on. There weren't anything special happening. Yes, she looked at the Sunday school picnic a week before that, but the Spirit of God was working. And those things that she learned 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that going over in her mind, and I thought to myself, this is tremendous. This is a tremendous thing when we think of the way God works. But Ralph and I, in our conversation, he mentioned something, and we got talking just a little bit about the concept of faith. And after we left and we headed for Abbotsford, this was still sort of going on in my mind, you know, this idea of faith. You remember the latter part of 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse, it speaks about the fact that faith and hope and charity, these things abide. Faith, hope, and love. And yet in my mind, I was thinking, you know, so often there's things that you and I, we have known and we've talked about for years, and we just talk about it so freely, and yet sometimes I wonder, maybe it's a good idea just to stop and rethink this out and chew this over a little bit. Just really, what is faith? And how does it display itself? Are there things that I think is faith and is just wishful thinking? Are there areas in my life that I once upon a time would just accredit to having faith? So really, just this evening for a few minutes, and I understand that the meeting goes on to 8:30, but we're not going to go on to 8:30 for several reasons. Number one, I'm doing my best to be a little more concise and a little bit more together, not ramble. As well as most of you know, my having some difficulty with my back, and one of the problems I have is standing too long, so I can't stand too long. So maybe you can't stand to have me stand too long either, but we won't be doing that. So we're not going to go on to 8:30, I can guarantee you, type of thing. But I want to read, let's read then, before we get going too far. Let's read in Hebrews chapter number 11, and I'm going to read one verse to commence, and then, of course, we're going to be looking at some others. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." But without faith, it is impossible to please him. One of the Bible dictionaries that if you look up faith would say faith is a firm persuasion, the conviction which is based upon hearing, Bear in mind that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not upon sight or knowledge. It's a firm relying, it's a confidence in what we hear from God in His Word. Another dictionary suggests that it's a kindred word to believe. It is confidence in God founded in His Word. It is believing in a person, as Abraham believed God. And of course, if you wanted to look at other dictionaries, Bible dictionaries and so on, and most of them basically give you the same idea as far as what faith is. But then I got thinking, you know, we often use this expression, and we often talk about having faith. An individual said to me just recently in conversation, and he said, well, you know, he said, oh, I'm disappointed. I guess I just don't have enough faith. Well, that got me thinking just a little bit. What do you mean you don't have enough faith? Just what is our faith based on? You remember when the angel came to the Lord or to Mary with the glad tidings of the Savior's birth, she asked the question and she said, "How shall this be?" And so often that would be the question that would come into our mind. And you, if you're like me, and I know you're like me, and I'm like you, that so often we start reasoning things out and we start to try to put all the pieces together and make it fit, you see. We got to make it fit. We got to do it in a nice sort of way, and my, everybody's going to be happy with us. We got it down pat. But she said, how shall this be? But her answer, she answered herself down the chapter just a little bit, and she says, according to thy word. How shall this be? According to thy word. Faith has to have a basis, and the basis is what God says. Now then, you remember again another example? Abraham, well advanced in years. He's told by the Lord to look up to the heavens, and the heavens, of course, were the innumerable stars. And Abraham heard the Lord say, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham, first he thought, oh, the reasoning came into the picture, that how can this be? Our bodies were basically as if they're dead. How can this happen? But Abraham believed what was said, simply because who said it? Abraham is referred to, of course, as the father of the faithful. He believed what God said. Now, this is what I'm thinking about this evening. In relation to faith, faith must have its basis. Faith must have something to rest upon. And so the faith that is being rested upon God's Word. So there are some things we're going to notice. There's some things that I'd like to look at in the big picture, if I can use that expression. And if we were to go down to verse number 3 of chapter 11, we read through faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We believe what God says. And God says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And I am one, and I do my best to try to avoid getting into major confrontations or discussions or debates on creation versus evolution, because it's out of my league, and I acknowledge that. But I simply believe what God says, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And some of all these fancy little theories and what have you, why, I'll leave that for the other men to sit and argue and chew over. No, as far as I'm concerned, God created it. And my faith that I express is based on what God says. So that is looking at things, shall I say, in a big picture. Now, we referred to Janet getting saved the other night. She expressed faith. Now, what she expressed last Friday night, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, is something that was never meant to be, never happen again. Now, let me clarify that. Faith in the Bible is something that is anticipated that as we move and as we walk along, our faith will develop. And it will grow. And we'll begin to understand more and more as to what God has in His mind for us. But again, I want to get back to the fact that faith must be grounded upon what God says. Now, this is a very intriguing thing, because once more, when we stop and think of so many factors in our lives, then we have to know what God says. So this takes us to another direction, and this takes us to the point that we have to read our Bibles to find out what God says. And we look to the Lord for guidance and direction in our own individual lives. And the way the Lord would direct my life, based upon His Word, is the means by which we step forward and carry on. There are some individuals which the Lord has given them a word to perhaps leave their secular employment and go full-time preaching the gospel. Oh, that's wonderful. But perhaps He doesn't do that to everybody. But again, we go back to the Scriptures and see what God wants us to do. And our faith rests upon what God says. Now, there are some things in the Bible that God doesn't say. And there are things in the Bible that God does say. And we rest upon what He does say and what He tells us. The Bible tells us, for example, the Bible tells us that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. The Bible tells us as well that it's the will of the Father that those that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ would have everlasting life. So you and I, we know that God's mind and God's will for all mankind is that He would have them to be saved. But they may not be all saved. And I certainly believe that God is more than able to save everyone that is close to me by the ties of nature. But God hasn't promised me that He'll save my children. As much as I believe He can, and I hope He can, and I pray to that end. We pray that way daily. But what was it then that we rest ourselves? It's what God says. Now then, sometimes we have the expression, we hear the expression, and I'm going to just digress for a second from Matthew, and I'm going to go over to Matthew, or from Hebrews, go over to Matthew, and you turn if you wish, but if not, that's fine, just follow along. And there's sometimes in our experience and in our lives that we would fit into the disciples. When the Lord would speak to them and perhaps rebuke them gently as to the fact that they don't have faith. There's four times in Matthew's Gospel that I'm thinking of just right now. And these four occasions in Matthew's Gospel where the Lord speaks to the disciples and He refers to the fact that, oh, we have little faith and where is your faith and so on. But there's certain frames of mind that would be upon us, and this is what He's dealing with. Now, of course, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 30, we're right in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, and the Lord, as He's going down this message that He's given to the people that particular day, in this chapter, there's certain things that I find very interesting. For example, in verse number 20, He tells them, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Because in verse 19, He referred to the fact, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." But in verse 20, "Treasures in heaven." And then as He goes down a little bit more, He tells them that no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So now, number one, He's telling them to lay up their treasures in heaven and not on earth. He's telling them that they can't serve two masters. They can't serve God on the one hand and mammon on the other hand. But then He gives them this little encouraging word from verse 25 down. And it has to deal with their everyday needs. He says in verse number 30, Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So sometimes in our minds there's an anxiety. There's an anxiety that comes upon us in relation to what we're to do. And in this particular passage, as the Lord, as he's sitting on the mount, so commonly called the Sermon on the Mount, and as he goes down, he's just gone over to the fact that they weren't to lay up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. You can't serve God and man at the same time. But then he goes down and he begins to go over the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And as he goes down, he talks of the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And so as he looks at this, he's looking after this whole anxiety that perhaps comes into their mind. And this is something that you and I, we have to battle with all the time. And that is this anxiety. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. But again, going back to verse 30, he says, if God shall clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? So there's anxiety. If we were to go across, and I'm going to just go over to chapter number 8, and of course we know the story, it's a story that is often used in the preaching of the gospel, in verse number 24-23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, and he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? There's a fear. For he says in verse number 26, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? So here's another difficulty. If previously we were thinking of anxiety that comes upon us at times, this is fear. Now it's interesting here. It's interesting because up the chapter in verse number 18, now when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart onto the other side. He told them that they're going to the other side. He said, we're going to go across. That was his word. Sadly, they didn't seem to rest on what he said. But when they saw the storm around them, there was that fear which sprang up to the point that they said, Lord, save us, we perish. So then there's that fear. Now, faith is based upon what God says. And the Lord Jesus, we're going to the other side. But they were afraid. All right? And so the Lord says to them, he speaks about them, about their lack of faith. Didn't he say, won't he accomplish it? Their faith must rest upon what he says. And he said, we're going the other side. Now then, we're going to go on over into chapter 14 for another brief look. And of course, again, another very popular passage which we use different times implied in the gospel. And that is the Lord. He's in verse 25, the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. But that's what the Lord said. He said to come. So the Lord has given a statement here. He's given that encouragement. Peter, looking for a word, the Lord gave him a word. So Peter, away he goes. And when Peter has come down over the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus, verse 29, verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? In the first occasion, I suggested that it deals with anxiety. The second occasion, we saw the disciples were afraid. And this particular occasion, we see the disciples doubted. The Lord has spoken. Now listen, I'm not being hard on Peter, because I wouldn't even have the nerve Peter had to even ask the question. But what I'm getting across is simply this: the Lord made a statement. Peter started to respond to it, but he looked other directions and his filled with doubt, and he began to sink, and he cried, O Lord, save me. And the Lord said to him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, do you suppose there's ever been an occasion in your life or my life that we've doubted? Do you suppose there's ever been an occasion in your experience or in my experience that fear didn't creep in? Do you suppose there's never been an occasion when anxiety kind of seems to overrule us? And these are things, of course, which the Lord deals with these various individuals. Thankfully, we have never, we've never experienced this on a regular basis. Some folks have it, but we do know, we have experienced in days past, we have experienced, I guess, what they call a panic attack. And it's not very pleasant. And you don't know if you're having a heart attack, you're coming to the end, or what's going on. Yeah, we've been there. Yes, we have exercised. We have had fear. And yes, we've had doubt. And the Lord deals with these. But we're not finished. Because I'm going to go over to chapter 16 for a second. Chapter 16 and verse 5, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? We are champions of reasoning. And perhaps weak on faith. But he says, O ye little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? In this particular passage, what the Lord is dealing with these disciples, and perhaps in a way he has to deal with you and I as well. And that is, we're inclined to forget. We're inclined to forget and it's good to remember, it's good to reflect on days past and the way the Lord has brought us and led us and guided us. And how he's provided for us. And the things he's done for us. And how in days past, not only individually, but in this assembly, there's times of blessing. There's times of seemingly drought. There's times of perhaps famine. And there's times of great blessing. But at times it's good to just stop and remember the goodness of God. And how God has acted in our lives in days past. As mentioned this evening, you know, we look to the Lord for blessing. Not because of anything within ourselves. But as Daniel prayed, because of thy great mercies. So we look to the Lord to bless us, not because we're worthy to be blessed or because of anything within ourselves, but simply because of his great mercies. So these are four different frames of mind that we can have that the Lord deals with in Matthew's gospel. The difficulty of anxiety, the difficulty of fear, the difficulty of doubt, and the difficulty of forgiveness. And in each case, it's interesting, he refers to them as having little faith. And on several of those occasions, it was in complete contrast to what the passage starts out when the Lord gave them a definite word, and through the course of the process of time, they were afraid. They seemingly forgot. But getting back to this concept of faith, is faith something? Is faith something that only is it something that only the super spiritual have? Is it only something that, I hope Brother Dave forgives me, but is it only something that the preachers have? Is it only something that perhaps some of the elders have? Because they talk about faith, and things seem to go on in the same sense. You know, I have heard, and I have sat in where you're sitting, and listened to people and preachers, and older preachers particularly, and giving examples of in their own lives and previous years and days gone by, and how they prayed for things, and how the Lord answered their prayers, and I sit there and I smile to myself, and I said, "Boy, that's wonderful, that's marvelous." That's tremendous. I don't think he's ever answered any of my prayers. But I wouldn't dare say that. No, I would never have the nerve or the courage to say that, because people might think I'm not very spiritual, you know. But sometimes we look at people that exercise faith and I can't do that. I couldn't live that way. No. I don't have it in me. Or what? Whatever issues we come to. Faith is not meant to be something for the super spiritual. Faith is something that is meant for each one of us. Didn't we exercise faith the moment we trusted Christ as Savior? That was an exercise of faith. And that faith was based upon what He said. "He that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out." So we responded to what He said. Faith was exercised. We believe what God says. And as a result, God saved us. And at the expense of repeating myself, this is something that was meant to be an everyday thing, that faith might develop and grow within us. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is a tremendous chapter, and sometimes you wonder, where do we start and where do we stop here? But every one of these cases, there's an interesting thing as to how faith works and how faith begins to work in the lives of these individuals. But let me just say a couple little things. The first three individuals, Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And that takes us to life prior to the flood. And it is interesting in looking at this, it's interesting going down, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." He was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. "And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death." Death's mentioned again. "And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." And then we come down to Noah in verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." There's one thing that seemed in my mind that seems to be running through the first three, and this takes us before the flood, is the fact that the faith that is mentioned there, it is a faith that saves. It is, there's salvation in my mind seems to be coming through in these verses. So it's salvation, faith that saves. But when we get down past the flood, and we look at Abraham, and we go down just to Moses. Moses represents the law, but before them, between the flood and the law, shall we say. And we look at these individuals. There's something that really stands out in my mind. And that really is summarized in verse number 10. "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And then in verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." So, in the first three individuals of the chapter, the faith is linked. It's a saving faith. But now as we go into this section between Abraham and Moses, this is a faith that's looking far off. It's faith that sees something. It sees something based upon what God says. And then, of course, we look at Moses, and we go down from Moses down to the end of the chapter, and there's one thing that kind of stands out in respect to these individuals, and that is simply this, that why there's a suffering involved. We go down in this particular passage from Moses, and we go right down following in verse 31, 32 of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and so on and so forth. But there seems to be a certain amount of, in these individuals, we go back and we took a little look in their lives, and there's something that's suffering. There's suffering involved. Now then. And I'm going to stop pretty quick. One of the things that I find intriguing and interesting in looking at this is the fact that Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph are mentioned. We go back to Genesis and we can read quite a bit about it, particularly Joseph. Joseph was outstanding. And there's a number of things that Joseph did that really was remarkable. And there's some wonderful, wonderful lessons that we can glean from Joseph's life. There's many things that are tremendous. The things that Joseph accomplished and how the Lord guided him and led him and so on. But you know, it's interesting. What's referred to here in this catalog of faith is simply this. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. That's what's mentioned. Not a lot of his other accomplishments that you and I would lean to. You see, Egypt was the place of Joseph's his glory as he rose in the ranks and the authority that was given him. But Joseph knew that the children of Israel were going to go back home again. They're going to go and the Lord is going to lead them. And that was what he wanted, for his bones to go. And he told them, he said, by faith, Joseph believed it. When he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. Interesting, the long life that he had. And it's something that happens as he's dying. Interesting, just go up one verse to Jacob. We read there, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying. So Jacob and Joseph, they are noted for an act of faith, but in both cases, it's at the very end of the journey. As they're dying. Their days are gone. Jacob perhaps didn't have quite as much on his side as Joseph did as far as things that he accomplished. But it isn't it interesting? And what I'm going to get from this is simply one particular point. There are some things that perhaps you and I may think is a great act of faith. And other things that aren't. We wouldn't have perhaps given them credit the way the Spirit of God does. In fact, when we go down to verse number 32, we might not even have added Samson to the list. But the Spirit of God does. And so that indicates to me that sometimes when I look upon, perhaps in a way that I look upon it, it's not quite the same way the Lord looks upon it. As far as you and I are concerned this evening, He wants us to exercise faith. This ought to be the tenor of our lives. Just exercising faith. And how we do that is by trusting, believing. These are all kindred words to faith. Upon what God says, and resting upon it, and leaning upon it, and just obeying what God says. Now, in order to do that, there's a little secret. And with this, I close. It's a very simple little thing. But in order for us to rest upon what God says, then we have to know what God says. And we know what God says by the Word of God. And so therefore we have to read the Word of God. Now, I'm finished. My legs are giving out on me. So, shall we just pray? We'll just commit ourselves to the Lord.